one, two, broken but glorious.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp. I'd like to be joined on the line by the promoter of Main Event Wrestling, Dan Finch. How are you doing this evening, Dan?
Good evening.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm very well, yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, yeah. So, a huge thanks for joining us this evening. So Dan's joined us to discuss his upcoming show, Get Some Attitude, on the 20th of October. So I read today you want it to be fancy dress. That should be fun.
It's going to be something, all right. We've got a few people have already sort of put their marker down where they're going to be. So
yeah.
I'm going to be Eric Bischoff on the evening.
That sounds
good. That's a very easy question. That's a very easy costume. I'm totally totally cheated for that.
Are you going to be in your suit, or are you going to do Kung Fu, Eric? Here comes the pain.
Oh, it's totally, it's NWO, Eric. Massive, cheesy, motor swear. Is that
yeah, it's fine.
Do that? Yeah, massive, grey, big, shit-eating grin, and
yeah.
A bad wig. So, easy.
So, before we get into the show, I just wanted to ask a few questions about how you got into wrestling, how you got into promoting, a bit of history about the promotions. So how long have you been a wrestling fan?
Since 1990, so coming up 30 years next year. That's
wow.
I'm sure my age there, but yeah.
Yeah, same amount of time as me. So. Yeah, who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
Originally, I think it was probably, I was like everyone, it was like Hogan and Warrior and stuff, and then I think after I watched it for about a year or something, it was like, you sort of seen every Hogan and Warrior match you're ever going to see within sort of about three matches, so kind of moved on to like your Bret Harts and your Mr. Perfects and your Roddy Pipers and all the cool people of that era.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was a huge Macho Man fan growing up, and I loved. I also loved Jake.
Never fan of the Macho Man.
No,
couldn't get away with.
I think it was he brought me into it because I think it was just the colour of him, it's colourful, and his voice, and just how crazy he was. I just loved it. Well,
everyone's got a Macho Man at yours.
Yes. I don't think I'll cough if I do. Oh yeah. No, that's crap.
That's pretty good.
So do you ever have any ambitions of becoming a wrestler?
I did training on and off.
Yeah.
I've had a few matches in my time, but I'm not very good. I'm very uncoordinated.
Yeah.
Not a massive gym person, steroid monster. Not very technical when I try that as well. So
yeah.
It's probably for the best I don't, if I'm going to be honest with you.
What's the character you're going to try and pursue after
you started? I had a few. The first one was sort of a rip on sort of like Vince McMahon for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But that got very old very quickly. And then we're going to do like a sort of cult leader thing, Mr. Hollywood, which was just what didn't go anywhere.
No.
And then for a long time I was Mr. Hollywood, which was a failed talk show host, which meant that I could pretty much just talk and not have to wrestle. Which is, like I say, just talk loads for 5 minutes, do a 5 minute promo and then a 30 minute match where I just shit came out. But the last match I had was about 2 years ago and I just wrestled as myself, so
yeah.
Pretty much everyone knows who I am within the promotion, so there's no point trying to be somebody different.
Yeah, definitely. So did you start the promotion or did you get involved at a later date?
I went on to a company called IWF, which was in Gateshead, in about 2003-04. Stumbled across it. I can't even remember how I found out about it. And I sort of looked around and thought, you know what, I could pretty much do this, but on a bigger scale and maybe even better. But some of the talents that were there were like training and sort of within that company were really, really good. So you had Pac was very first starting out there.
Wow.
That was where he trained. You had guys like Assassin who's been wrestling for us for a long time. A lot of other guys as well. Is anybody who went on to bigger and better things that I can think of. But all these guys sort of in the local area, which I didn't even know really existed. I got chatting to a guy who owned a wrestling shop in Newcastle. For some bizarre reason, for a period of time, about 15 years ago, Newcastle upon Tyne had 4 wrestling shops.
Wow.
Beyond, I mean, is there necessity for one? But we had 4. And they're all amazing, but yeah. So I got chatting to him. He wanted to get into it. And then the promoter, the IWF, sort of oversaw the first show that we did and helped out in a lot of ways and sort of the how to run a show and what kind of things we should be looking out for and doing and that kind of thing. So the first one that we did, originally I was going to do a show on my own before I got involved with these guys in the place called Whitley Bay at the Playhouse.
Yeah.
And I was going to have Bret Hart on the show.
Wow.
And then, I don't know, and then I got talking to these guys and decided to do something totally different. So I swapped the Playhouse idea. Did, at the time, there's like a venue on top of a shopping centre in Newcastle. So you imagine you walk into like your standard bog standard shopping centre, you go up an escalator and suddenly you've got a wrestling arena. Mm-hmm. Very strange.
Wow.
It's gone now.
Yeah.
went not long after our first show. So we decided to run there and then use a mix of all the local IWF guys. A few guys that I sort of talent spotted, because I spent about a year, 18 months up to that point going to as many shows as I could to sort of find people that necessarily weren't getting out there. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, you know, the internet was around, but it wasn't like a massive thing back in the day. And then we also had wanted to get a couple of guys in who were sort of your names to draw your fans. So the first show had Raven, D'Lo Brown, Austin Aries,
Austin Aries versus Raven, the first headline, wasn't it? Did I read that?
Yeah, he just won the Ring of Honor title.
Wow.
And I mean, literally just won, I think, about 2 weeks beforehand. And we booked him against Raven in the main event. And it was only because we didn't really have opponents for either of them, so it was just like, just put them against each other, it'll be fine. It's actually a really good match. But, yeah.
Sounds amazing.
But, we had Sandman show up randomly as well, so that was a bit strange.
sounds like a great first show. Did you find it hard to let go of control once the show started, the first show?
Yeah, definitely. We kind of had bigger issues with me because the two guys I was running with were doing the ring announcing.
Yeah.
Or front of house and various other things. So I was kind of running backstage. I've never done it before in my life. And we had a massive issue with one of the wrestlers, one of the American international wrestlers who had looked at his pay, which had been agreed and all of this. And his, I think he worked it out to be something like about maybe £6-7 what he claimed was down. So because it was on a Sunday, and then the post offices weren't open. I don't know, probably still on Sunday. The post offices didn't exist anymore. But so we changed the money the night before at the post office, and the exchange rate must have fluctuated overnight, and he was just going, kicking off about this. It was definitely under £10. I can't exactly call it, but it wasn't a massive amount. So obviously we were like, he has £20, fuck off. But he wasn't having that, and he was going around threatening to beat people up. He was just a bit of a dickhead, basically. That was by the way.
That's just
so awesome. What an introduction.
Yeah. Must have been a bit of a scary moment on you for like a show.
I just thought he was a bit of a prat person.
So you crowned AJ Anderson, known these days as Screwface, as your first champion. How did you go about choosing a champion?
Well, went on a bit of sabbatical from about 2009 to maybe 2013.
Yeah.
And while we were running the other shows, it was more about international stars and booking big venues. But when I brought it back, I wanted to just do mostly local talent.
Yes.
With a few other people from a little bit further afield. And I was working with somebody else who was helping book the shows. And he's the one who sort of put AJ Anderson forward. So like this guy, I mean, I knew AJ Anderson anyway from old. And when he'd done the scout, he said, oh, this is a really good baby face for us to put the title on, because I wanted to put on a baby face. And I think he was champion for maybe a year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe coming up 2 years.
Wow.
For the first run that we had for the belt. Then he did the whole sort of like Hulk Hogan thing where we get different people in every show and he somehow manages to beat them. But that for the first maybe 2 years or so.
It must be amazing seeing how well he's gone on to do, because he's been in NXT UK and I think he's champion.
Yeah, definitely.
Defiance, and he's currently fighting Spirit Champion at local promotion to me.
Ah, right, mate.
So when you bring in big names, how do you decide who they're going to wrestle?
When we used to do it, we used to have just the same rule of thumb every time. So we've got a guy called Assassin who hasn't really wrestled outside of the Northeast.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been for a long time. But he's been wrestling for me since day one. So the very first show, and he's still alone now, like 15 odd years later. So originally it was just because he was big, he was agile, and he looked the part. He looked very much like Rhino, someone of that sort of ilk. So we got an American in, we'll just put him up against Assassin. So he had D'Lo Brown, he had Sheamus, he had Heidenreich, he had Christian, all within sort of like a 2 year period.
Wow.
And now, for now, kind of bringing in her name, it's more the most UK based names. We don't really get that many international ones. And we had Chris Masters on about 2 years ago. And apart from that, I think they've all pretty much been all. Had Bram on last year, I think. But otherwise, we'll kind of just look for storylines, like long running storylines and characters. So if they can fit into that arc somewhere, then we'll bring them in. But if there's no reason for them to be on the show, then we just wouldn't use them.
Yeah, that was my next question. Do you have storylines running from show to show? And if so, what's been your favourite storyline so far?
Yeah, it's for probably the last 4 or 5 years, every show has some kind of theme or storyline, and we'll build it up and then try and blow them off once a year and then start again. From a totally narcissistic point of view, probably one that I was involved in over the last year, I had a feud with Chris Renfrew from ICW.
Yes.
For a year or so. But it just sort of built up nicely. It was something out of nothing to begin with. Like, we're not sat down and thought, we're going to do this feud. Like, there was something happened on a show, and we kind of just went with it because the crowd reacted to it. And that was a lot of thought and hard work and really good promos and lots of different ideas and stuff that we haven't done before went into that. So for me, from a totally selfish point of view, I'd definitely say me versus Renfrew was probably the best storyline we've done.
Did you have a match at the end of it, or did you just bring in guys for him to face?
We were scheduled to do a hardcore match, and he retired like just before then, unfortunately, so we never got around to doing it. But one day, Chris, I'm coming for you. An hardcore match, you're in for it.
This is Benji from the Land of Gentry, and if you've got any class, you'd be listening to Broken But Glorious.
MEW gets some attitude. It's in the. Is it called the Innisfree? Am I saying that right?
Innisfree, yeah.
Innisfree Sports.
So you imagine you come out of a train, like a small local train.
Yeah.
And then you get off that train, and maybe 100 yards from that train, there's a social club, and you walk through the 1970s, and you walk through the 1970s carpet, and then suddenly you're transported into like a mini arena at the back of the.
Oh, wow.
Social club. That's kind of, I know. So, like, we're like 280 people, I think, is the maximum attendance, but. Which we'll fill out pretty much every show, but it's like a little sort of mini venue at the back of it. It's very unique and amazing place.
Yes, it's the Innisfree Sports and Social Club. It's on the 20th of October. So what should the listeners expect from a main event show?
Oh, well, this one's a bit special. So it's themed back in 1998. So we're going back to the Attitude Era. We're going back to Raw versus Nitro for the night.
Yeah.
So we've got a few little bits and pieces which are themed on that. So we've got a guy who plays who is a Mexican manager. He's going to be hoisted up onto a pole.
I was going to ask
him
about
Jose that. Malego.
So, what was the story behind Jose on a pole match?
He's had two wrestlers that he's managed over the last year, and one of them's just come back. So I thought, they're going to fight over him. He's an absolute gimp, but you still they're going to fight over him. He's going to be on a pole, and somebody's going to get him off the pole. I haven't really thought beyond that at the minute. I haven't thought how we're going to get him up the pole, down the pole, anything of that nature.
Just do what he did with Judy Bagwell and put him on a forklift.
exactly. If I can afford a forklift. what else have we got? We've got like an NWO type theme thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
We've got a tag team called the Cosplay Kings, which we'll no doubt be dressed up in some form of Attitude Era regalia. And then in the main event, we've got probably one of our hottest acts at the minute, which is Mickey the Dragon, who's a ninja type wrestler, comes out with these nunchucks, usually hits people with the nunchucks.
Yes.
And he's got Tom Campbell from Cultaholic as his mouthpiece.
Friend of the show.
And he is wrestling Grado. You might have heard of Grado.
Yes,
One on one. Grado's never lost an MEW.
I was going to say, has he been undefeated for 5 years?
5 years, never been pinned, never been.
Wow.
One of his first big matches. He had a top knot when they were fashionable, if they were ever fashionable. and we did a top knot versus bum bag match, and he cut his top knot off at the end. That was an interesting match, but yeah, never been beaten.
Wow. You also have a ladies' match. So you got Miss Roxy defending against somebody I've never seen, but I've heard really good things about. So Ashley Vega.
Yeah, I've never seen Ashley in the flesh wrestle, seen lots of videos, really, really good talent. We use a lot of female wrestlers from Scotland, there's some fantastic talent up there. Roxy has gone all year undefeated as champion. She's like probably one of our, if not our top star, one of the top stars in the company. The fans absolutely love Little Miss Roxy. She made her actual very first match she ever wrestled in her career was for MEW.
Yeah.
About 4 years ago. So always a rapturous applause when she comes out.
All right, so I think I've got a fun question to finish on. So, if aliens invaded the Earth, and let's say they were Predator-type aliens or Klingon, possibly, that type of alien, rather than Mac and Me or an E.T. So, you've been tasked, they've challenged the Earth to a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match. You've been tasked with finding the four wrestlers to represent the Earth. Which wrestlers would you pick?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Everybody always picks Braun Strowman first.
No, I'm not feeling Braun Strowman. I'm going to go with Kane, because I feel like he's pyro-cutting lives and maybe burn one of them.
Yes, that sounds good.
I'm going to go with... who's really dangerous as a worker? Somebody who's really dangerous, let's think. Don't know, come back to you. I'm going to go with... Hulk Hogan, because he always goes over.
Yes.
I'm also going to say Roddy Piper really had in that film They Lived, and he knew all about the aliens. He got rid of them, so we'll go with him as well.
Yes.
And we'll go with me.
I
fancy that.
Pick yourself.
Well. So me, Piper, Hogan,
Kane.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go.
My favourite answer to this is I'm going to pick Rhea Ripley, because she must be related to Ripley from Alien. That's like, okay.
Oh, that's a very good answer.
Another one they picked, Adam Rose's bunny, because of Space Jam. The Bugs Bunny beat the aliens. So that's a convoluted way of getting around to the answer. So before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
Go for it, yeah. We are on Twitter at MEW Wrestling UK. You can find us on Facebook, which is MEWUK as well, I think. We're on Instagram, I don't really use it. So definitely Facebook and Twitter is the place to go. We've also got a YouTube channel where you can watch all our shows for free. Just whack it into YouTube, Main Event Wrestling UK.
Brilliant. And I'll put ticket information and all the links in the description below this. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Nope, no problem. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Good luck with... the show. It sounds like it's going to be really fun.
I'm sure it will be. Always is.